Amen. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and start with a short prayer. Amen. We apologize for you guys for missing you guys yesterday. You end up seeing a play about the passion of Jesus. Amen. So we're gonna go ahead and start with a short prayer. Jesus, help us, Jesus. Bless us, Jesus. Lead us into all truth and bring everything back into our remembrance, Jesus, of everything that you have said, Jesus. Help us to acknowledge you and the glorious and wonderful things that you did, Jesus, through these days, Jesus. What you did, Jesus, by saving Jesus, the children of Israel, saving us out of Egypt, Jesus, taking us out of the house of bondage, Jesus, for you are preparing to do it again, Jesus. Hallelujah. You also freed us from spiritual bondage, from our sins, Jesus, by sacrificing yourself on the cross, Jesus, through this Passover season, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You, Jesus, applied the blood on the doors, Jesus. You told us to apply the blood of the Lamb on the doors. And you, Jesus, also told us to apply the spiritual blood. The blood, Jesus, of your sacrifice, Jesus, on the cross over the doors of our hearts in the name of Jesus to lead us, to help us, to bring us to true freedom, true salvation, Jesus, true communing, Jesus, with you, a true communing, a true communication with you, Jesus. Help us to develop our personal relationship with you and to realize, Jesus, what this great season, this Passover season, Jesus, means, Jesus, for the children of God in the heavenly kingdom in the name of Jesus. We are your children, Jesus. We love you. We thank you. We follow you in your ways, Jesus, not the ways of the world. But you said, Jesus, we will be in this world, but we are not of it. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray and we say, hallelujah, amen, in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. And so on our last sermon, we went into just some of the things that Jesus wanted. Be taking this into, amen. Some very serious things about Russia and the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar, amen. And this Passover season, it's no coincidence that this Passover season would fall right in the same time frame as these prophecies are being poured out, these great truths are being poured out, amen, on the earth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the first scripture we're going to go to is Jeremiah 3. This sermon is called Passover and Two of a Family. Hallelujah. Passover and Two of a Family. Amen. The first scripture Jesus led us to again is Jeremiah 3, starting in line 12. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 3, line 12, it says, amen. Go and proclaim these words, amen, toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Amen. I will not keep anger forever. Hallelujah. I will not keep anger forever. Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger, amen, forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers. Amen. I'm going to repeat that. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Amen. So Jesus saying that the things that we did in the past, that we scattered our ways to the ways of the strangers. We scattered out, we did exactly as the strangers did, to the people that are in the world did. Amen. And he's saying to repent, acknowledge it and repent and turn away from it. Amen. and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. This is what Jesus is saying right now. I am married to you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. This is why Jesus put that call so, he's pressured us so much to proclaim for so many people, amen, to come out from the cities. I will take you one of a city, as he's saying, that's how few it is. It's like one from a city, like Lot, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, hallelujah, according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding, and it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increase in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. He's talking about the 1,000 years of peace. Again, amen. And all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, like the two sticks. You're going to be together, and they shall come together out of the land of the north, out of the land of the north, to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father and shall not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Amen. So this is talking about the Passover and two of a family, and the prayer and the repentance, knowing that there are things that we have to also repent for the sins of the previous generations. That's a real thing. Amen. Hallelujah. The next scripture that Jesus led us to is Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. Why do we have to pray for the sins of the previous generations? Because the previous generations were ignorant. The previous generations, and even we, growing up, we witnessed what the previous generation did. Amen. And we did what we wanted to do. Jesus said, one of a city and two of a family. Jesus wants to bring the true law to his children. And this gathering together of the old nation not desired, he talks about in Zephaniah, is happening right now. And it's going to test the church. With these so many people coming from the East Coast, all these people coming from the West Coast, they're going to come. It's going to happen. It's going to test the church to see if they have the true heart of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Jesus led us to Jeremiah 18, lines 1 through 10. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. These are the signs. These are the signs." Amen. That we are seeing this eclipse is happening on April the 8th. This I don't know if you guys heard about it, amen, but this bridge that fell, this key bridge that got knocked over, this happened as soon as we left Baltimore, Maryland. That was a ship ran into it and it knocked the whole bridge down. He ran into a support beam and the whole bridge fell down. These are the signs, what Jesus is saying. At one instance, I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. In this case, Jesus says that it's that the land cannot be saved. Different from a little bit different from Nineveh, but that the people are Nineveh when Jonah was sent to Nineveh. But in America, the people are Nineveh. And Jesus is saying, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. But it's already the judgment is already set for the land. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. Amen. Because Jesus has already proclaimed it. He's already written it. It's already done. And if people, individuals, kings, queens, presidents, governors, members of the government, members of parliament, whatever their position is, if they don't humble themselves, Jesus is going to lay them down low. And perhaps, and hopefully not, those people will go down in the judgment if they don't humble themselves. They go down right with the judgment of America. Amen. And Nebuchadnezzar was an example of that. Nebuchadnezzar was driven in the woods because of his pride of what he proclaimed, that he did all those great things. But Jesus is saying here, amen, at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and destroy it. It's by his hand. What instant I shall speak. He plucks it up and he can build it back up. Amen. He can pull it down. He can build it back up. If it do evil in my sight, what it that in my sight did it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. So Jesus can build it up, he can tear it down. Amen. Because he's in control. He is God. He is the Most High. The next scripture that Jesus led us to is Zechariah 7. Amen. Hallelujah. Zechariah 7, we're going to start in line 8. Jesus led us to line 8. Amen. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." Why are this place being judged? Because America transgressed all of these things. Oppressing the widow, oppressing the fatherless, oppressing the stranger, oppressing the poor, not feeding the poor, imagining evil against and imagining adultery against their neighbor and their brother, and all these different things that America glorifies. Amen. Line 11, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped the ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts have sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore, as is it come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. He's talking about the children of Israel, but he's also talking about the future. He's talking about here in America as well. The past, the present, and the future. And he said that they would be scattered with, he scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not, even in America. Amen. Scattered. The next scripture that Jesus led us to is Psalm 83. And how did they do that? Jesus tells us right in the scripture. How did that even happen? He tells us right in the scripture by taking crafty counsel. Amen. Jesus led us to Psalm 83. We're going to start right in line one. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebal, Ammon, and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Ashur also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and Zalmunna. Amen. Jesus is saying, he's saying right here that he's about to crush those nations when he said that he was the rock cut out without human hands, the stone cut out without human hands, that crushes every nation and every kingdom to dust. He's saying this is about to happen. The times of the Gentiles being fulfilled right now and right here before our eyes. Jerusalem will no longer be trampled on. Hallelujah. Who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession? Oh, my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind. As the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm. This is what we're seeing. Jesus. Amen. And as we continue this Passover story, thinking about the Passover, amen. Jesus took us right through the book of Exodus. And we're going to go right into the book of Exodus. Amen. And start right at the beginning. That's what Jesus wants us to do. And he put it in my heart, amen, to when we go through the book of Exodus, amen, to point out these things, the parallel scriptures, amen, that we see in the crucifixion story, amen. So Jesus led us right to Exodus 1. We're going to start at line 8, amen. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serves was with rigor, was with hard work. Egypt didn't do it too. And now we live in modern day Egypt and they're doing the same thing. They have no reverence. They have no care for the fatherless, for the widow, for the poor, for the maimed, for the lame, for anyone who is in need. Amen. No care for their neighbor. No care for their neighbor. Amen. And this is what we're looking at. This is what we're seeing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. We see oppression. Amen. And this was the overabundance of oppression past a certain point, past the point of agony, like they just couldn't take it anymore. The people that were suffering could not take it anymore. And those cries going up to heaven. This is when Jesus brings judgment to a land, just like what we just read in Zechariah and in Psalm 83. Amen. And this is how we know what we're looking at. We're looking at the same thing. We're looking at a second Exodus. Amen. Another Exodus. Amen. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto the Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere or before the midwives come in unto them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. So the Hebrew midwives had children super fast. And we shared this before, you know, with my wife having our children in less than 10 minutes, most of our children in less than 10 minutes. And we also shared with Miss Rose having one of her children in less than an hour, less than 20 minutes. Amen. It's called precipitous labor. Amen. So the next scripture that Jesus led us to is right. We're going to go right to Exodus 2. Amen. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit that what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Amen. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Amen. And so just to catch you up, Sister Brenda, and anybody else who might have joined, amen. This Passover season, when we read through Zechariah 7, 8 through 14, and Psalm 83, 1 through 15, which explains and goes into, amen, about Passover and two of a family, right? And we read Jeremiah 3 to talk about this two of a family, one of a city and two of a family, amen, that he would take us out. Amen. And when he does this, this comes at a point of time where the suffering of a nation is unbearable. Amen. When the scripture talked about in Zechariah 7 about the orphan, the widow, the fatherless, and the neighbor, the brother being oppressed. Amen. And the poor not being fed, the naked not being clothed. And Jesus talked about this. Amen. And it getting to a point where a nation, amen, was so past the point of no return, and they weren't doing any type of service to any of these people. Amen. And to the point where that the cry and the prayers go all the way up to heaven. And this is what happened in the Exodus story. Amen. This is what happened during Egypt. And so now, living in modern day Egypt, we see the same thing. And this is how we know that judgment is coming on a nation. Amen. So Jesus saying, one from a city. Amen. This is why Jesus put it on our hearts to tell people to get out of these cities, get away from these cities. One from the city, two of a family. He's saying he's about to bring us back. He's about to take us out. It really is a second Exodus. And we're seeing this. We're seeing all the signs. Amen. So continuing in Exodus chapter 2, line 7. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Amen. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. So she's going to get paid for that. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of water. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And this was a sign of that oppression that went past a certain point of no return, that oppression that went past the normal suffering of a people. Amen. And this is when the judgment comes. Amen. This is the Passover season. The reason, the whole reason for the Passover, the whole reason for the last curse, amen, was because the oppression had gotten so great, amen. And so it says, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, they fought together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore or why smitest you your fellow? Mightest thou that fellow? Why did you smite your fellow? Why did you hit your fellow? And he said, who made thee, who made you a prince and a judge over us? And tendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh. He ran and dwelt and lived or traveled in the land of Midian, which is in Saudi Arabia. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you are come so soon this today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Amen. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. There's the cry. There's the cry that came up to heaven. Amen. And so we see these things. We see the oppression. Amen. We see the transgression, the oppression and the transgression. Amen. You know, when we see these things, like Sister Brenda, what you just said about Transgender Day, they made the Transgender Day the same day as the Lord's Resurrection Day, the same season as the Passover. Amen. He wouldn't allow any religious decorations. This is the transgressions. This is the groanings that went up to heaven. We're groaning. We're groaning in our spirit. And it says right here, and their cry came up to God by reason. Amen. By reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So Jesus has respect unto us. Just like we were talking about earlier, Jesus has respect for us. Amen. For following him, for following his ways. Amen. He has respect unto us. for remaining, that we're suffering through these different things. And we see this, and we're growing within our spirit, saying, "This is these things are wrong. These things are oppressive. These things are transgressing the laws of Jesus." Jesus talks against these things. Amen. Hallelujah. And so this is when the judgment comes to a nation. Amen. So Jesus led us to write to Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." Amen. And so I want to share, amen, a short video that talks about just very briefly. It talks about the whole Exodus story, but we're going to look at a specific part. We're going to go through this as we go through this, the Exodus story, through this Passover Feast of Unleavened Bread. These next 7 days, amen. And we're going to look at, amen, the different pieces. But this part right here is going to focus on the Mount Sinai and Midian and where it's located at, amen. And why it is actually located, what the proof is that it's actually located in Saudi Arabia, amen. So just bear with me for just a second. Amen.
Jehovah Nisi, or more properly said as Yahweh Nisi, which means in Hebrew, "The Lord is our banner." This altar is located right beside the rock Moses struck where the water gushed out for the Israelites to drink. Now, there are also some other amazing discoveries in this area that are fascinating to see and give more evidence that this area was traversed by the Israelites. Ryan Morrow, who recently visited this area and produced an excellent documentary called Finding the Mountain of Moses, the Real Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia, says some of the following information. He says the name of Rephidim means place of rest. Hebrew inscriptions that have been found in this area have been interpreted to say place of rest, the definition of Rephidim. Closer to the mountain, inscriptions have been found that Dr. Miles Jones, a scholar of ancient Hebrew, believes are talking about the battle with the Amalekites. He says one of the inscriptions refers to the death of an Amalekite. Nearby, there are two inscriptions that Dr. Jones believes are marking where a Hebrew mother and daughter died. The Bible says that God told the Israelites that they would possess the land wherever the soles of their feet would touch. Near the split rock and near the mountain, there are many inscriptions with an image of a foot and a sandal. Next to the image, there is a Proto-Hebrew writing that means the sole of the foot. There have also been found inscriptions that were translated and found to refer to Yahweh, the Hebrew name for God. Now, we did a video about Gilgal that talks about the appearance of campsites in Israel that are shaped like a foot. There are a total of 7 of these campsites that have been found in Israel. One of the clearest is at Gilgal, of which you can see in this video. Now, all this evidence at Rephidim is quite convincing. After their time in Rephidim, it says in Exodus 19, in the 3rd month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped in front of the mountain. So to this point, the Israelites had been gone from Egypt for about 8 or so weeks. They probably arrived at the Red Sea about a week or less from the time they left Egypt. Then they went 3 days into the wilderness and camped at Marah. From Marah, they went to Elim, where they camped for several weeks. We then find in Numbers 33:10 that the Israelites then journeyed from Elim and camped by the Red Sea. Now it appears that they backtracked to Elim and then from there went to the wilderness of Sin. From Elim, they traveled to the wilderness of Sin. Exodus 16:1 says, Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the 2nd month, after their departure from the land of Egypt. So when they arrived at the wilderness of Sin, they had been gone from Egypt for about 6 weeks. From the wilderness of Sin, they traveled to Rephidim, where they camped for a week or so. Then they arrived at Mount Sinai in the 3rd month after leaving Egypt. The beginning of the 3rd month would have given them 2 months' time to reach Mount Sinai. They would then stay at Mount Sinai for
We've moved so far away from the Constitution that in many ways we
for about a year. Here they would receive the law, build a tabernacle, and be taught to obey God's laws and principles. Now it appears that after crossing the Red Sea, that shortly thereafter, Moses' wife and children went to be with Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. Then later, after Moses arrived at Mount Sinai, his wife and family rejoined him. Now where would Moses' father-in-law have lived in this area? Well, just east of Mount Sinai is the town of Al-Bad. Located in this town are 2 incredible pieces of evidence that links Moses to this area and that it was indeed the land of Midian. First, the name of a historical and archaeological site in this area is called Madian. This is the same word as Midian. It's the Arabic word for Midian. At this site are what are known as the Caves of Jethro. Inside these caves are ancient tombs rooms and interesting findings. This site has been preserved by the Saudi government and has a long tradition of being known as Midian and the location of the tribe of Jethro. The second piece of evidence is a close-by well that is called the Well of Moses. The Saudis have long believed that this is the well where Moses met the daughters of Jethro, and Muslims from around the world come to see it. The Saudi locals are excited to point out that this is the Well of Moses, and it is also an archaeological site that has been preserved by the Saudi government. All this evidence points out that Jethro once lived here, that it was the place where Moses lived while in Midian, and that the well here is where he met the daughters of Jethro and protected them and Jethro's sheep from other tribesmen. This area is close by to Mount Sinai and would fit the biblical account of how Moses took Jethro's sheep to graze in higher pastures there, as it's only about 25 miles or 40 kilometers due east. It was quite common for shepherds to take their flocks to higher ground in the summer months to find rich pasture lands at higher elevations. It also would have only been a two-day journey from where Jethro and Moses lived to Mount Sinai. All this is convincing evidence that Mount Sinai is close by to Al-Bad and this area, and that it was indeed the land of Midian where Moses lived and got married after fleeing from Egypt. Now, the amount of evidence around Mount Sinai here, which today is called Jabal Maqla, reveals this place is indeed the true Mount Sinai. It is all quite convincing, so let's now look at all of the evidence here at this Mount Sinai, which is known again as Jabal Maqla.
Amen. I'm going to read these last couple of lines. Amen. And that video just explained where Midian is, where Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia, and what the evidence is for it being there. Amen. And how the Lord left, Jesus left all this evidence there so that we would know where to look for and what it was that we were looking at. Amen. And so it says in line 3 in Exodus 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Amen. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Don't come any close here. Put off your shoes from off your feet. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, their slave masters. For I know their sorrows. I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Amen. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto you, unto thee, that I have sent thee. And when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain, upon Mount Sinai. Hallelujah. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto them, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus is saying, that it is close at hand. Hallelujah. This is what we're looking at the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled right before our eyes. Amen. And that Jesus is beginning to pass over. He's beginning to go through. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for showing us, Jesus. Passover in two of a family. Amen. And so we're going to go ahead and end it there. If anybody has any reflections, anything you want to share, amen. Go ahead and share. Amen.
Yeah, I don't have anything, Daryl. I got in late.
Amen. I didn't even see you guys get on. Amen.
Yeah, it was
that's
late.
Okay, though.
Yeah.
That's all right. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I got on late, too, but I just want to say happy, blessed Resurrection Day to all
Amen.
Y'all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He has risen.
Amen,
his death
sister.
By sting. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Glory to God.
And he sure is. Amen.
And he is living down in the inside of all of us. And we will rise too. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is so good. Jesus.
I have to go back
so
and
good. Amen. Happy Resurrection Day and happy Feast of Unleavened Bread. Amen. Jesus is, he is letting us know this truly is sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee. He
Amen.
Is opening up the doors that no man can close. He truly is showing us that this is the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled. I mean, we're looking at it. We're looking at it right in the eyes. And Jesus is saying, I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to continue to do it. Amen. And so we see that, literally see the kingdom. Amen. With our very eyes. Amen. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead and end it there. And we're going to go ahead and settle in for the night. Keep
All
praying.
Right.
Keep seeking Jesus. Keep reading your scriptures.
Amen,
keep
guys.
Searching the scriptures. Amen. Because our redemption truly is nigh at hand, near at hand. Amen.
God bless Amen. Y'all.
Blessings, everybody.
All right, y'all. Bless y'all. Have a